The last two shiurim we were at World of Purim, so maybe we'll move forward to World of Pesach. It sounds like some of you have had the opportunity to begin to explore this Bishurav, which is fantastic. Whether this is your first time or your second time, hopefully Kol B'Zman Sha'atim Mashmish Bo Atam Motzi Bo Tam Chadosh. Hopefully be a frishkeit, a freshness and a newness and a new appreciation regardless. This is like the Bishurav we saw at the beginning of the week. This is a relatively small ma'at hakamos. It's relatively small, less than a column. I think the one we saw at the beginning of the week was the smallest in the sefer, but this one is definitely in contention.
Is it one sefer?
Yeah, I think this is one of the smallest pieces in the sefer. This piece in Perek Zayin Lachazayin. But as we'll see, he sometimes the smaller pieces there's a lot going on very quickly. And you gotta unpack it. And I'd love to see at least one additional nafkamina and the idea that he's developing, as well as to see whether tonight, yeah, they're going around, tonight or beyond, to see something that a tool in learning Rambam that the Biskarov is explicit about in one of the earlier, the first piece in the Sefer, which I think is very, very relevant, although he does not stress it here as well. Maseches Pesachim has 10 prakim. Maseches Pesachim is organized. Every once in a while, the Mishnayos will get into a chronological scheme. Every once in a while, the Mishnayos will get into. I don't know, there's a copy's going around. Every once in a while, the Mishnayos get into like a narrative chronological scheme where they're taking you through a process. There's a close to parak in Bikurim that's like that. It takes you through the whole process of Os Bikurim. A significant chunk of Maseches Sota is like that. Most of Maseches Yuma is like that. And maybe the longest such presentation anywhere in Shas Mishnayis might be Maseches Pesachim, which at least in principle, not mamish narrative, but is entirely arranged, at least in principle, in a chronological order. The Masechta open, and the irony is that the Temporak of Maseches Pesachim, officially only one of them is about Pesach itself. Because it starts Arla Arba Asar. First parak begins with the night of Yudalit, the night of Pesach, B'dikas Chametz, then it works its way into the morning. In the course of talking about the morning, we may get into Matz and Mar, but that second parak is officially about Erev Pesach morning. And then that continues to the third parak, the fourth parak, talking about Bir Chametz, and about Menhagim of Erev Pesach, Malacha and Erev Pesach. And then Prakim 5 through 9 are about Karban Pesach, which is officially Erev Pesach afternoon. Obviously, some of the dinim apply preparations beforehand. The ninth parak is about Pesach Sheni, which in reality is a month later, but all under the Karban Pesach rubric. And finally, the tenth parak still, the first line of the tenth parak, Arvei Pesachim, right, the name is Erev Pesach. The first line of the tenth parak is about Erev Pesach afternoon in terms of dinim that are relevant even bizman hazeh, in terms of how much you can eat and how much you have to restrain yourself from eating Erev Pesach afternoon, so you'll come to the Seder Te'avon. And then finally, from that point on, the balance of the Mishnayos of Erev Pesach are about Leil HaSeder. Yes. Much of the parak takes you through Mamish, Al HaSeder, Mazgul Kos Rishon, and Kiddush, and Kosheni, and removing things from the Shulchan, from the, and then the Manishtana takes through much of the core, help yourself, the core of the Nusach of the Haggadah comes from the Mishnayos and Arvei Pesachim. Before the Mishnayos get into the step-by-step chronology of Leil HaSeder, immediately after that opening line of Arvei Pesachim, about not eating, limiting your eating on Erev Pesach late in the afternoon, the Mishnayos then go on to formulate the first two dinim of Leil HaSeder. They're both dinim drabanan. One of them is Haseba, and the other one is Arba Kosos. Here you see the line, that's on Sadi Tesla Beis, that's the beginning of Arba Pesachim. Here you see the Gemara picks up with that in Kuf Ches Amar Alf. That means the Gemara spends the first 8.5 block of Arba Pesachim. It's still not about Leil HaSeder, it's about the dinim of Erev Pesach, and the Gemara gets into very important tangents about Kiddush and Havdalah. Finally, Kuf Ches Amar Alf, this is, in theory, the first Gemara about Leil HaSeder. and ironically, Maseches Pesachim, you officially get to Leila Seder more than 100 daf into the Maseches.
Is Leila Seder part of like during the days of Mikdash
as well? Absolutely, absolutely. May I have a chance to see? The Mishnayos make it clear that some things changed. When the Mishnayos talk about you get the nusach that they used to say. It sounds like during Tekufas HaMikdash. The Rambam, hopefully we'll have a chance to come to this either tonight or next week. We'll see how long this circuit takes us. The Rambam, in the last perek of his Hilchos Chametz Matzah, perek Ches, he takes you through the Seder, Ala Seder, takes you through the Ala Seder, and one of the intriguing things about that perek is he presents what Leila Seder looks like. Like the Mishnah, as he takes you in chronological order, every once in a while he'll say, "Oh, but Bizman HaZeh, we do it like this." In other words, the ideal Seder is a Seder Bizman HaMikdash. The ideal Seder, for the ideal Seder, the halachic centerpiece of Leila Seder is really the Karban Pesach. We, for us in general, it's worth considering for a moment that the Yom Tovim, we have mitzvahs throughout the year, but in terms of the color in our lives, colorful array of mitzvahs, certainly Yom Tovim or when you have the biggest burst of a colorful diversity of mitzvahs. And yet, as much as it's true that the Yom Tov, you have such richness in terms of mitzvahs, every Yom Tov has its own set of mitzvahs, Yom Tov is also the time, it's also true, and so it's necessarily worth considering as we progress in 3 weeks, and as Rosh Chodesh Av looms large, this Shabbos is going to be Shabbos of Archon. It's worth considering that all year long, as rich as our lives are with mitzvahs, all year long there's so much that's missing because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And when the Chafetz Chaim put together a Sefer Mitzvahs HaKotzer, a bridge Sefer HaMitzvahs that just focuses on the mitzvahs that are Noeg Bizman HaZeh. Now, I believe he also leaves out mitzvahs that are not Noeg in Chutz La'aretz. So some of those we have regained, at least midrabbanan, now that we're back in Eretz Yisrael. But the vast majority of what's missing is missing because you have a Beis HaMikdash. And the number of mitzvahs are Noeg Bizman HaZeh, he, out of the 248 mitzvahs I say, only 91 make it to the Chafetz Chaim's list Bizman HaZeh. Most mitzvahs I say require Beis HaMikdash. Most mitzvahs I say don't apply Bizman HaZeh. Just worth considering. Some of them think, oh, okay, we have Beis HaMikdash. Basically, we have everything. No. The only Beis HaMikdash, we're missing so much. It's part of Ruba HaOmi. And as much as that's true throughout the year, it's particularly true on Yom Tov. Yom Tov is for us the most colorful, the richest array of mitzvahs. At the same time, we're also missing the most from our mitzvahs on Yom Tov. All the Yom Tovim are so Beis HaMikdash centered. There's so much that's missing because you don't have Beis HaMikdash. And in Pesach in particular. Pesach in particular is a yontif of Karban Pesach, is a central, if not the central mitzvah of the yontif, and we're it's entirely missing.
What would be a precise quote
of Pesach? I'm sorry?
What would be the central mitzvah precise quote of Pesach?
So we have Sipur Tehillah Sisra, and we have Matzah, but it's all supposed to be centered around the Karban Pesach. That's what the Rambam in Parakas B'chavos HaMatzah, when he takes you through Leila Seder, he gives you the ideal Leila Seder, built around the Karban Pesach, and everything else surrounds the Karban Pesach, the Kosos and the Matzah, Sipur Tehillah Sisra, Mitzrayim. And then every once in a while say, oh, but Bizman HaZeh, we do things differently. Bizman HaZeh, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so now we do it like this. By the way, footnote, now we do it like this. Okay. See, here we are, the opening sugya of Leila Seder is the sugya of the Seder. And here the Gemara, here you have the Pisgah at the very top. I just tried to clip part of Kuf Ches Lamed Aleph. Afilu Anishib Yisrael Lo Yochel Ad SheYosef. Seven words from the Mishnah. Seven-word statement that's very loaded. Even the poorest Jew should not eat Leila Seder until he has the opportunity to do Haseba. Even the poorest Jew shouldn't eat without Haseba. Then that's the middle din of the Mishnah. The first din is about Erev Pesach, eating Erev Pesach. The middle din is this din. And then the closing din of the opening Mishnah of Arvei Pesachim is Lo Yifchasu Lo. They should not, the Gaboyt Staka in town, who want to make sure to take care of all the Aniyim, they're going to give Aniyim who need cash, they'll give them cash, Bizman HaTalmud once a week. aniyim who are so impoverished, they don't even have food for the day, so they would get fresh food every day. It's called tamchui for those who have learned Maseches Bavasra. And even the poorest Jew, Rahman Salah, needs to rely on daily handouts for food. On a typical day, the Gabbaites are giving him basic food. Bismana Talmud, the standard was not 3 meals a day, but 2 meals a day. They give him 2 meals a day, basic food, nutritious food. Erev Pesach, the Gabbaites stock have to make sure that everyone is getting 4 kosas of yayin. Okay. Now, if you think about the way that the Mishnah presents Haseba and Arba Kosos, who was a character who appears in both the description of Haseba and of Arba Kosos?
Yani.
Very interesting. That's not a din of aniyim. Jews. Jews have to eat Haseba. Jews have to drink Arba Kosos. Discussion about to what extent applies to women. Jewish men, certainly. It's interesting that the Mishnah phrases it as aniyim. Even the ani has to do a seva. Even the ani has to do a seva. And even the ani, when you're giving out tzedakah, make sure that the ani gets arba kosos shel yayin. Now, the ani appears in both, but one of them is more troubling than the other. Yeah, which one is, it's understandable that the ani appears in the formulation of the din? Why?
I think I gives him one.
Right, because the arba kosos costs money. Arba kosos are expensive. You don't get arba kosos for free. Someone has to fund it. So one hopes that a Jew is able to support himself. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to learn Torah and have a job and support ourselves and our families. So in a normal situation, you could pay for your own arba kosos. Now, if you have a fellow who's thinking that parnasa is not working out for whatever reason, and he needs to rely on the tzibur, okay, so I would have thought maybe this is a luxury. If you can't afford it, we'll give you matzah bread. We'll give you non-chametz bread. But the arba kosos is a luxury. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it. Okay, could have had such a havmina. Kamashma on the Mishnah, arba kosos is such a serious chiyud rabbanon that the tzibur is going to take care of the ani's need for arba kosos as well. Okay. But as you're pointing out, but what's strange about Haseba?
You can do anything.
It's free. I mean, if you have a nice couch, give all of it. But the Gemara describes later in the Amud that the Abaya says that when he was in yeshiva, so they stayed in yeshiva for Pesach. And they were not living at large. So it seems like they sat in a circle and everyone leaned on the knees of the guy to his left. Amar Abaya, ki avim beimar, zagina bikri dadadi. By Rabbi, the Gemara has a whole discussion about whether or not Talmud is supposed to do a seba in presence of his Rebbe. So Abaye reports, he was Talmud of Rabbi and of Yosef, as well as being an adopted son of Rabbi. He reports that there was Machlokes Rabbi of Yosef. By Yosef, they didn't do his seba. Rabbi Yosef held that Talmud is not made between Rabbi. When he was learned by Rabbi, they did. What did they do? They leaned on each other's knees. In other words, if you have a couch that's gewaldic, you have to lean on something. You can't just lean in the air like this. You have to lean on some surface, but it doesn't have to cost money. You can lean on the ground. The floor is free.
Can't you lean on your hand?
Sorry? You lean your body, lean your arm on something. So the question is, why does the Mishnah have to say, in thinking about this Mishnah, what does this Mishnah tell me? It's always important. You know, the Ramchal writes, a general principle in learning Mishnayos. Ramchal writes in his essay on Haggadah to the Maimra HaGadahs, he has a line there in the midst of a larger context, which is fascinating, but not for right now, take us too far afield. But he has a line there that Chazal interested, Gemara Timur tells us that at a certain point in time, they realized that they had to begin to commit Tarshva Peh to writing. Yuhanas, he says, you have to make a call. Ideally, we're supposed to convey but he realized at that point, if we're going to insist on the optimal method of transmission, we're going to start to lose content. The social situation was such, Klal Yisrael was under increasing oppression. If we don't start committing some of Tarshal Peh to writing, we're going to start losing content. If Yehuda Nasi made the call, then we're going to prioritize maintaining the content of Torah over the ideal format ideal method of transmitting Torah, we're going to begin to transmit Torah Shabbat Peh, Mitoch HaKzav. We commit Mishnayos to writing. A couple centuries later, they commit the Gemara to writing. More Torah Shabbat Peh is committed to writing. But Ramchal points out that that wasn't, that was a clash of halachic values. And apparently the need to maintain the content, the integrity of the content of Torah, was doche, the ideal method of transmitting Torah. But it was only doche. So to the extent that Efshel Kaim Shneim, to the extent you can maintain both, you have to satisfy both. So the Ramchal writes, that's why, or it certainly implies, that's why in crafting the Mishnayos, Yehuda HaNasi sought to make them as concise as possible and sometimes mysterious, like puzzle pieces. Now, often the Gemara will say, the Mishnah sounds like it means X, but I have a kasha from somewhere else. Oh no, the Mishnah doesn't mean X, it really means Y. Sometimes you look at it like, really? That's not... I read the Mishnah, I didn't think it meant that. Like, if you had also wanted to say that, why do you say X if he meant Y? Come on, really? And Ramchal says, absolutely. And it wasn't that Rabbi Yonasi was incapable of great writing. The Rambam actually writes in the Hagdamah to Pirush HaMishnayos that he talks about Shailat of Mala Adumim has this whole theory that the Rabbi Yonasi is one of the Rambam's great heroes. He talks about the Rabbi Yonasi's unique confluence of talents. He was an enormous Talmud Chacham, and all things together, Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that there would be a Jew at that time who would have that combination of talents and resources that would allow him to put out Mishnayos. And among all the talents and resources Yehuda HaNasi had, Rama points out, those who have learned Maseches Megillah in the past will remember that Yehuda HaNasi, you may never have thought of it this way, Yehuda HaNasi was, the way Rama presents it, Yehuda HaNasi's gift, his grasp of the Hebrew language was so fantastic, so magnificent, his Hebrew was so magnificent that even the members of the domestic help, the members of his household, had such refined Hebrew that when the Chacham didn't know how to interpret a word, who would they go ask? Amsa Debei Rebbe. They'll go ask the domestic helper of Yehuda HaNasi's house. Of all the people, why her? Rambam says, because Yehuda HaNasi's Hebrew was so elegant and so supple and so fluid and so fluent that anyone who lived in Yehuda HaNasi's house had an elevated Hebrew. Amsa Debei Rebbe, she had fantastic Hebrew because she was living in Yehuda HaNasi's house. It rubbed off. So Yehuda HaNasi's Hebrew, his language skills were second to none. So why are Mishnayos so confusingly written? Why are things often so unclear? And certainly things are, even when they're not unclear, they're so terse. Ramchal writes that was on purpose. That wasn't by accident. That wasn't a failing. That's a feature. That was a feature. Yehuda HaNasi wanted to maintain the Torah Shabbat Peh nature of Torah Shabbat Peh as much as possible. To have it all Baal Peh, that was getting to be dangerous. We have to commit something to writing to maintain the Torah Shabbat Peh. We want to keep it as Baal Peh as possible. So Hidavka didn't write it as every Mishnah is just very clear and self-sufficient. It was Davka written by design as a puzzle, so that you're still maintaining as much as possible the Torah Shabbat Peh. You need Rebbe to teach you how to put the piece together. You have to look here and look there. So that's why you look at this line in the Mishnah. Seven words. How many dinim do you see in these? How many dinim and ideas do you see in these seven words? I feel the Yisrael Yochal Achiyase. Number one, there's a Chiv HaSeba. Okay. Clearly it's not an option. It's a Chiv. Number two, the fact that I feel the Anishib Yisrael. Well, even before we get to that. Number two, when do you do Haseba, or how do you do Haseba, in what context do you do Haseba? Eating, right? You could have imagined, look, we talk for hours, Sibrit Siyas Mitzrayim, so maybe we should lean for our Sibrit Siyas Mitzrayim. No, the Mishnah says, this is a chiyuv to eat the Haseba. Okay, and then number three, what else do you see from these seven words about Haseba? Now is Haseba clearly a chiyuv, and it's Dafka B'Shas Achila, but the Ani. So what is that? What's the Mishnah trying to tell me? Tell me, even the Ani. Do you say, even the Ani has to say Kriyat Shema? Even Ani has to bench. I mean, if Ani doesn't have any food, he's not going to bench. What do you say, Micah?
I think because the Mishnah is the Ani is, the same as Baruch Hashem did it there, so the Ani is the opposite of that, to where Mas is left alone, he's really like, as close to that as you can get. So showing that even the Ani has to do it.
Good, yeah?
Because you would have thought that since the Ani, there's no prayers by anyone, there's no kingship by him. Oh. You would have thought the mishnah of kaddish that like the onion also would fall into that too.
Good, good. Yeah, what's your name?
Zach.
Yeah.
I would say if it's a, if we're saying that hasteva is a din of eating, then the onion might not have like
food, TV, okay, good. So number one, the fact that we're making sure the ani has food. In terms of that, it blends in with the next line, the safe of the Mishnah. We also have to make sure that he has arbicosa. Is good. Number one. And number two, that I would have thought apparently the theme of the mode of Haseba is one that maybe would be inconsistent with an ani. I could have imagined what it's a cruel joke. We tell the ani he should pretend to be a wealthy aristocrat, a Ben Chorin. Haseba, you should know, was, Chazal didn't invent Haseba. Chazal created a Chiv, invented a Chiv Haseba for Jews, a Leil HaSeder. Haseba was a reality. The aristocrats at the time, in Greco-Roman culture, that's how aristocrats ate. This was, you know, the equivalent of Bizman Hazeh. You show up and they have, you know, four knives and five forks and six spoons, right, and the gold charger. This was classy eating. B'tkufas HaTalmud in general culture was Haseba. So Chazal said Jews are going to do that Leil HaSeder to show Cheirus. I would have thought the Ani, number, maybe it's just the cruelties, or even forget about the cruelties, but maybe it's not meaningful. The fellow looks impoverished and he's being masive. So I could have had a Hava Mina that he's not going to accomplish anything by being Mason. Kamashma, no. Maybe because Kalashal B'nai Malachimim, despite the fact that he is an Ani, he too, Chazal want him too to rise beyond his circumstances, and it is meaningful and obligatory for him to do a Seba. Oh, so in terms of the concepts, the nuggets that emerge from these seven words, the Zechiv HaSeba, it's Dafka Derech HaChila, and number three, it's apparently meant to be an expression of cheiros, such that the chiddush is even the ani. So in these seven words, the Mishnah rate gave me a whole package. Now, the Gemara goes on. Question, someone a question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe you might think that the din of not eating an Arab Pesach doesn't apply to ani, because like it's so difficult for him to get his hands on food. So maybe you might think that if the opportunity arises...
Oh, that's interesting. You're asking Akasha, how come we didn't say a filu ani in the first? The first part of the Mishnah just says Arve Pesach Neochal Anach Yosef, and then the second and third dinim has saved Arba Kosa. They mention ani. We could have mentioned ani in the first in the beginning also. Maybe it's a good point. That's a good point.
Can you repeat why the Mishnah says Dafka ani again?
Yeah. Yes. I think in phrasing Haseba as being something that even an ani does. We don't say even an ani says kriyashma. It's highlighting the fact that despite the fact that Haseba is free, there still would have had the nature of Haseba such that could have mistakenly thought that it's not relevant to the ani. Why? Apparently it's to show, this is where the Mishnah is conveying to us, that Haseba is meant to be a show of B'nai Chorin, meant to be a show of Cheres, meant to be a show of aristocracy. And Mimela, it's a little bit of a chiddush that the ani also, even the ani, can and must practice haseba. Now, the Mishnah, so again we said, but the core is a chiv haseba, and it's dafka lo yochel achi yasef. So the first question, the Gemara is going to go through a series of questions, the first of which is lo yochel what? Which foods? After that, the Gemara is going to talk about who does haseba. Husbands, wives, rebbeim, talmidim, ta 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 ta. The Gemara is going to talk about and waiters. The waiters do haseba. The Gemara is going to talk in between about how you do haseba, right side, left side, front, back. But the first question is what? Which foods? Which foods? There's a lot swirling in that, but let's just see the very beginning. Itzmar, matzah tzarich haseba, mar ain't tzarich haseba. Matzah requires haseba, mar does not require haseba. Yayin, the Gemara has a whole discussion. The Gemara says what appears to be, but ultimately is not, a stira between two comments of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is recorded both as having said that arbakosas do require a seba and that arbakosas don't require a seba, or yayin. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that Rav Nachman must have held that some of them do and some of them don't. And finally, the Gemara says, because we're not sure which he said yes and which he said no, practically speaking, we do haseba for oral arbicosis. There's a lot to say about that part of the sugya, not for now. Basafir Bar Lahakel, and how that works. A lot going on there. Okay. But in terms of the core din of Heseba and of Matzah, Tzarech Heseba. So two comments, any questions, then we'll jump into Tosus. And that's where you're going to take us into the Brisker Rav starts with the Rambam, works his way back to Russian Tosus. We'll maybe see Tosus first, and then work our way forward. And then we'll begin to appreciate the way the Brisker Rav pulls apart the Rambam and allows us to see him clearly. Yeah, you had a question? So Tosfos raises a series of practical shailos here. From the end of that first Tosfos going into the second Tosfos. The end of that first Tosfos writes, the last two lines, Mashut Tzarech Haseba B'Matzah, first line, the Gemara, Matzah Tzarech Haseba, that's Kishim Avarchin Al-Achiyos Matzah, U Be'afi Kalman. Both at the beginning, we eat Matzah at the beginning of the Suda, for Motzi Matzah, and they eat matzah at the beginning right before he bench Rafi Komen. Those are both matzah. Matzah Tzarech Haseba means both the Kzayis are two at the beginning as well as Kzayis Rafi Komen at the end. Check. And then Tosfos raises a shaila they're not sure about in the next year matzah. Kul Amitrich Haseba, that's the last line of the Gemara's discussion about the Arba Kosos. So first Tosfos restates the Gemara's maskana. Chol Dal Kosos, Trich in Haseba Shashtia. Good, that's the maskana Sasugya. You need a Haseba by Matzah. Shosh means both the Kazayas at the beginning, because there are two Kazayas at the beginning, as well as Afikaiman, and all the four Kosas. Vitzarachian tells us here, as an aside, when Acharonim use Vitzarachian, they mean Akasha. Vitzarachian here is using Tzarachian to mean a Shaila. He's not bothered by a problem, he's just literally Tzarachian. We need to look into the following question. Im Shachach Velo Hesiv, Im Yachzer V'yishtet. Is Haseba Ma'akev? Matzah requires Haseba. Arba Kosos requires Haseba. How about if you forgot? So you're Mechoyev, it's wrong. It's a violation of a Din D'Rabbanan to choose to eat Matzah Shlo B'Haseba. I'm too lazy. I don't like doing Haseba. That's wrong. Violate Din D'Rabbanan. Mechoyev to eat Matzah B'Haseba. The guy decides he doesn't want to get his kittel spotted with wine, so he's going to just, forget about Haseba and drink the Arba Kosos sitting up straight. That's wrong. You violate the Chas V'Shalom. You violate Din D'Rabbanan. You must, yeah. I feel like it should be wrong. You're pretty clear. Not allowed to, eat the matzah, the Arba Kosos, the Haseba. But let's say you forgot, or you did on purpose, whatever it is. B'meiz B'shogeg.
Would they be a Pachim?
Yeah, question is, let's say I talk and ate the matzah without Haseba. Do I have to re-eat the matzah with Haseba? How severe is Haseba? Obviously min haTorah was yotzei matzah, whether it was Haseba, the whole chiyuv Haseba is only drabon. But when Chazal created this din drabon that matzah tzarech Haseba, did they impose that even to the level of b'diyeva? Does they say that midrabanan you weren't yotzei matzah without Haseba, midrabanan you still mechuyev to eat matzah again? Or no? L'chatchila you're mechuyev to eat matzah v'Haseba. Okay, if you ate matzah v'Haseba, you did wrong, but move on, you're still yotzei matzah. That Tosfos is Shaila, they're not sure. Tzarechiyah, they don't come to a conclusion. They phrase it, they formulate the Shaila in the context of Arba Kosos. So, Hu Adinami the Matzah. So that's the question that Tosfos has. You look in the Rosh.
Why did
he say Daka Kosos? He goes on to talk afterwards. That's why I didn't want to get into those details. He goes on to talk specifically about even if you think Haseba is Ma'akev and Kosos, the Gemara, he points out the Gemara later says you're not allowed to drink extra Kosos, Ben Shlishlu, if you see the last line of Tosfos, Ben Shlishlu, Revi, Lo Yishta. You're not allowed to add Kosos during the Hallel. So the question is going to be maybe if I missed Haseba in the first Kosos, I should redrink. But maybe if I missed Haseba in the third Kosos, It's not cost free to re-drink the third kos. That's a further shame. Okay, but again, the two major points Tosfos raises: number one, you have to do a seba both achilas matzah, the motzi matzah, and afikaiman, and he's not sure as a seba ma'akid. You look in the end of the period of Baliatosis. The Baliatosis were from around the year 1100 or so. Rashi passes away in the year 1105. The beginning of the Baal HaTosfos were the grandsons, great grandsons of Rashi, particularly his grandson Rabbeinu Tam, and his great grandson the Ri, who was a nephew of Rabbeinu Tam. I believe he was Rabbeinu Tam's sister's son. So the period of the Baal HaTosfos went for around 200 years or so. The French and German Rishonim, all the way up until the early mid 1300s, the very end of the period of the Baal HaTosfos is the Maram of Wurttemberg. And probably many of you came across the Shita Maram of Wurttemberg in learning Be'ir in the beginning of the third parak of Megillah, one of the major issues. But whoever's learning the Sugya of Amida by Kriyas HaTorah, that's the famous Maram of Wurttemberg. He had this, he felt everyone, not just the Bel Kori, but everyone has to stand. And the Mordechai quotes him and says, we don't follow the Maram of Wurttemberg. So the Maram of Wurttemberg is in the early 1300s, and his three most famous Talmidim were the Rosh, the Mordechai, and the Agos Maimoni. Those three were all Chadir. So the Rosh is really at the end of the period of the Baal HaTosfos. The Rosh flees Germany. There were terrible pogroms that were to come. The Mordechai tragically did not get out of Germany in time. That's why Mordechai died as a young man. The Rheinfleisch massacres, the Rosh escapes successfully to Spain and stops. It's hard for me not to mention this. He ultimately takes up a Rabbanus in southern Spain in Toledo. But on his way down the Iberian Peninsula, Spain is a peninsula, so he escapes Germany, makes his way to Spain. On his way to Toledo, he stops in Barcelona for 8 days. Maybe a little more than 8 days. Barcelona had, in the previous generation, had been the Ramban had been the Rav of Barcelona. And when the Ramban passed away, he was succeeded. Ramban had many, many famous Talmidim, many, many non-famous Talmidim, but he was succeeded by particularly, arguably, hard to say, great, one of his greatest Talmidim, the Rashba. Rashba took over Yarshan, took over the Kisei Rabbanus from the Rebbe, the Ramban. And the Rosh passes through Barcelona and apparently closets himself for 8 days with the Rashba. This is that they write in Avram Fryman's biography of the Rosh. He put out through Masada Rukuk. He describes this. I sometimes think what you would give to be a fly on the wall. Could you imagine two of the greatest Talmid Chachamim of the last 1,500 years? Two of them of the last 1,500 years, two of the Talmid Chachamim who had the greatest impact on how we practice halacha. Two of the greatest poskim of the last 1,500 years since Chassidim Masada Talmud. The Rosh and the Rashba, they had probably never met before. They realized they would probably never meet or speak again. This was before modern transportation and communication. Can you imagine what happened in that room? Did they like bounce around a whole Shas together for 8 days? Can you imagine what I would give to be a fly on the wall? And then the Rosh had to move on, and he says goodbye to the Rashba, and he continues down, he moves into Toledo. So that's why the Rosh is sort of the continuation of the Torah of the Baal HaTosfos, now transplanted into Sfarad. So the Rosh, at the end of the period of Baal HaTosfos, that's why he takes the Rif, who had written a Kitzur of the Gemara 300 years earlier, and adds the comments of the Chidush Edinim of the Baal HaTosfos. So in the Rosh, that's what the Rosh is, in the back of the Gemara, the Rosh was a man, the Talmud Chacham, Rabbeinu Asher, but we talk about the Piskei Rosh, the back of the Gemara, it's Rif plus. We're very into plus this summer. It's Rif plus. It's Rif, he took the Rif's Kitzur of the Gemara and then added all the Chidush Edinim of the Baal HaTosfos. So the Rosh, Simon Chaf here in Arvei Pesachim, see he quotes, number one, that first din from, you don't have the Rosh in front of you, I'm sorry. The Rosh quotes this, the first Tosfos, you have to do a save by Achilas Matzah while after coming. The Beis Yosef, by the way, points out all the three major Talmidim of the Maram Wurttemberg say that. The Rosh, the Mordechai, and the Agos Maimoni. They all say you got to do a save for after coming. Then the Rosh talks about the second issue. Tosfos raises a Shaila. Do you do Haseba? Is Haseba Ma'akev or not? So the Rosh says, Haseba is Ma'akev. How does he know? He says, I'll prove it to you. He says, look at the bottom of the Gemara. The first wide line. Ibayilahu. They had a shayla, and I told the Gemara talks about which foods require a seva. The Gemara talks about how you do a seva positioning. Then the Gemara talks about who does or does not do a seva. So the Gemara raised a shayla, the first wide line. What's the story with a waiter? A waiter mechayev do a seva. Number one, it's practically difficult. He's up and down the whole time. He's if you've ever worked as a waiter at a simcha or something, so now you're trying to chop food to eat in between running, you know, when everyone's eating, then you run back to the kitchen and quickly grab something to eat, and then you're out again, serving, refilling. So practically speaking, you don't have a lot of menuchas ha-nefesh, eating b'seba is not a pashat zach, and it may also not be, going back to the implication of the Mishnah, I'm here working for other people, and then I'm going to do a seba zon ben chorin, maybe it doesn't make so much sense. So that's the Gemara Shiloh. Shamashmai. So Gemara has a raya, Tashma. Tamar Shub and Levi. Hashamash Ocha Kazayis Matzah Kishu Mesev Yotzah. The waiter ate the Kazayis Matzah Be'aseh Be'az Yotzah. Mesev in, lo Mesev lo. Yotzah if it would be'aseh but wasn't Yotzah without a'aseh but. So what do you see? Shema Minah. The Gemara says, I can prove from here that what was Gemara Shiloh? The Gemara Shiloh was, does a Shamas require a seba? So the Gemara's answer is clearly yes, because we said he'll be yotze if he does a seba. Apparently, if he didn't do a seba, he wasn't yotze. So that doesn't sound like it's optional. That sounds like even for the Shamas, a seba is mandatory. So the Gemara proves one point from this, namely that the chiyuv a seba applies even to the Shamas. The question of who, the Rosh. Proves the second point from this. The Brisker Rav, you can take a look at the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav excerpts this part of the Rosh in the beginning, then the first line or two of the second, the Ramasa. Vihine, Mekor Dino Shal Rosh, Im Acha Kazayis Matzah Belo Yaseba Lo Yotza. You're not Yotze. Haseba is Ma'akev. Who may ha Adam Rishu Ben Levi? Hashamash Acha Kazayis Matzah Kishu Mesev Yotza. Mashma, mesiv in, lo mesiv lo, ayin sham bedvar. The Rosh says that this Gemara implies something else. Not only that the Chiyuv HaSeiba includes the Shamas, but that the Chiyuv HaSeiba is a matter of yatsa or lo yatsa. So Rosh says, whoa, it's not just ideally you should have done HaSeiba, but if you didn't do HaSeiba, you were in Yotze, you got to re-eat. That is the Rosh's riot. So again, Tosaf left as an open question, is a seva ma'akev and matzah and yayin or not? And the Rosh says, yes! The Gemara has said it, phrased it as yatsa, lo yatsa.
Why would
the Tosaf
ask this question if it looks pretty much the obvious according to Rosh and the
Gemara? Good question. So you all know, isn't it obvious? What if I were to tell you that not every, make it worse? Not only is Tosaf leave as an open question, he's not necessarily convinced, there are Rishonim who seem to outright, to the other extreme, disagree with the Rosh and don't necessarily think that if you ate matzah, the Rambam probably thinks that if you ate matzah, the Rambam never says, that's for sure, that if you eat matzah shelo be'aseba, you got to re-eat the matzah. Why would that be the case? How else could you understand this? So the Brisker Rav suggests that we should look carefully at the way the Rambam talks about this din. Here we are, you have snippets in front of you of the Rambam in Perek Vav, a snippet of Rambam Perek Gimel, Perek Ches rather, but primarily you have in front of you Kitzur of the Rambam in Perek Zayin. And here specifically, the Brisker Rav opens with Perek Zayin Halacha Zayin. Thikach kishasoid on the Balai Lazeh. Therefore, Jew sits down to have Suda. Sarach lecho velishtos umesiv derech cheres has to eat and drink. Beheseba derech cheres. Goes on to in Halacha Zayin, talk about who has to do a seba, man. Men have to do a seba, in principle, women have to do a seba. I feel a line later, I feel on Yishiv Yisrael. I'm sorry. He says men and women both have to drink arbakosos. And then he says, even a Jew in the sparse mount staka, you got to give him arba kosas. Okay.
Even a Jew that gives up money?
Yes. A Jew needs a parnasa. Now, halacha ches, after in halacha zayin, introducing these two dinim drabanan, haseba and arba kosos, he spends halacha ches elaborating on haseba. Then, as you see in the kitzurim, halachas tes and yud elaborating on arba kosos, before going on to other things, to charosis and to mor at the end of the parak. So he opens, afil anshim shal yocha, she yosev, women do or don't do a seba, back and forth, a son in the presence of his father, the waiter, need to do a seba, sham shifnei rabu, tzrichin a seba. He does not use the Gemara's language of yatsa lo yatsa, just says tzarech a seba. And at the end, the Rambam writes, at the end of halacha ches, a masai tzrichin a seba, when do you do a seba? He reverses the order of the Gemara. The Gemara spoke first about which foods, and then in what position, and finally, which people. Who? The Rambam reverses it. The Mishnah talks about who, a few Anshim Yisrael. So he then goes through all the other questions of who. And then the Rambam next gets the question of how, Yemin, small, etc. And finally, he closes with what the Gemara had opened with. Eimasat Tzrichin Aseba. When do you do Aseba? Bish'as Achilas Kazayis Matzo Vishtias Arba Kosos Elo. When you eat the kazayis matzah, when you drink the arba kosas, shar chilas to ushtiyaso, and the rest of what you eat and drink, im heisiv reiz mashubach, im lavein otzarach. It's wonderful to be meisiv for the rest of the suda also, but you're not obligated. Couple of comments, and then we'll take questions. Couple of comments about this Rambam. What I'm about to say, barichos, is probably all rolled into a line of the Brisker Rav. So we'll see that line soon. Or else we'll see that line on Sunday. But just thinking, digesting this Rambam a little bit, the first thing that should strike you is that the Rambam tells us a critical tool in Derech HaLimud, a critical tool in analyzing Rishonim and knowing how to write, ask the right kashas, and make the right diukim and look for terutzim, is one of the many critical tools is to know, to recognize the genre of the sefer that you're looking at. You have to know what type of sefer was this Rishon writing, and then you know what matters. So let's say most Rishonim that you probably spend your time on at this point in your learning career are Chidushim al Shas, are Svar written al Seder al Shas, whether it's Perushim, like Rashi's Pirush, or like Tosfos, or Chidushim Rashba, maybe on Mohammed. Most of the Sfarim, the vast majority of the Sfarim Rishonim that you're looking at this point in your learning career, are al Seder HaGemara. So where do you expect to find things? On the Sugya. The Rambam was not writing, this is not a running commentary on the Gemara or on any other Sefer of Chazal. This instead, I mentioned before that the Rif had already written a Kitzer, Lahalacha of the Gemara, and the Rush expanded on it. The Rambam, the Rif was heir to a long line of Gaonim who were writing Kitzurim of different parts of the Gemara. The Rambam took that to a whole other level. The notion of being Makatzer to the words of the works of Chazal, the Halacha, the Rambam took that and moved it forward in three major ways, three major Chidushim. Number one, his scope of topics is much wider. Almost everyone who came before him, the Chavos HaLavos and the Akdal mentions there was one Gaon who also did this, Rabbeinu Chafetz, I think. But almost all of the Kitzuri Halacha before him, including the Rif, were Dafka focused on Halacha L'mayis B'zman Hazeh. There is no Rif from Kachem, because no Gaon B'zman Hazeh, sadly. The Rama writes on everything. On Zeraim, on Kachim, on Taras, the Rambam also wrote on Yonei Amunah and Hashkafa. Everything is within the purview. All the Tarek Mitzvahs are in the purview. His scope of topics is much greater. Number two, his corpus, his scope of works of Chazal is much wider. He is quoting Bavli Yerushalmi Tosef, the Midrash Halacha, everything. Then, number three, and perhaps most significant, is unlike the Rif and those who, almost all those who came before him, who were more or less sticking to the Seder topics of Gemara, the Rambam started from scratch. His goal was to reorganize everything. Rambam tells Beferish, he's very explicit about it. He says, Gemara is conversational by design. And therefore, in any good conversation, different things come up. And that's why you have tangents. Part why you have tangents. He says, my goal is to take all the efflorescence of Torah Shabbat Peh and pull out what halacha l'maisa and put it into strict logical order. The Rambam was very clear that he was trying very hard to reorganize. Everything is meant to be in a strict logical order. And that, as I mentioned, I referenced before, the Brisker Rav in the first piece in Sefer, in Hilchas Talmud Torah, already mentions that's why, as with real estate, when learning Rambam, position, location, location, location is critical. Looking at not just what the Rambam says, but where he puts it is very significant, because the Rambam, and this is an example of why genre matters. When you learn a Rambam, where he puts something matters, because unlike the Chiddush HaRashba, the Rashba writing Chiddush was writing on the Sugya. The Rambam isn't writing, he was thinking about all the Sugyas, but he was seeking to put the Maskava of the Sugyas where they belong in logical, conceptual, topical order. Where the Rambam puts something matters tremendously. Number two is that the Rambam's goal was to quote Chazal. Only those lines which are Allah HaMaisa. But he tells us Beferish in a letter they wrote after they wrote the Mishnah Torah that he does not write anything on his own unless he says, it seems to me, Yiroi Li, which I believe he writes, I did not count this, but others have. I'm told that he wrote that 99 times, which means it must be tens of thousands, not hundreds of thousands of dinim in the Mishnah Torah. It means 99.999% of the Mishnah Torah is quoting Chazal. Very broadly, it might be a Tosefta or Yerushalmi or a Bavli, and maybe the way he understood it, but he's always quoting Chazal, unless he says otherwise. So, you, looking at this, you ask yourself when you learn a Rambam, what line of Chazal is he quoting? Because he doesn't tell you. He actually writes in that same letter, he had Harata, that he hadn't written footnotes to tell you where everything is. He has the whole story, he wants. He himself couldn't remember where something was. I came to ask him where it didn't was. He himself couldn't find it. He said, if I can't find it, I would have to say it for myself. How do I expect anyone else is going to know? Kadosh Baruch Hu, if Kadosh Baruch Hu gives me enough time and free time, I'll have the chance to write a companion work. The Rambam did not have that time. So for the last 800-900 years, everyone else has been trying to figure out where the Rambam is coming from. Many Sarim have been written to try to figure out. Most famously, the Kesef Mishnah. But many Svarim have written to try to figure out what the Makar is. Most Svarim Rambams would probably be resolved if we knew what the Rambam's Makar was. But anyhow, coming back here, so you look at this Rambam with those ideas in mind. Both those ideas are critical in analyzing these Rambams. Both will get to the question of location and recognize that every line is quoting something. So almost all these lines look familiar. That was the Mishnah. Then it goes through some lines of the Gemara about Isha. Shamash bifnei rabo trichin aseba. Okay, that coined that line. The Gemara we saw at the end. Although he didn't say the language of the Gemara, yata lo yata. That's interesting. And then emasa trichin aseba kazayis masa. Okay, that's the Gemara. Arbakosas. That's the Gemara. But then where did this rest of this come from? Shara chilasa ushtiyasam heiser is meshuba from lave nutzar. Oh, it's a nice thing also to eat everything be'aseba, to have the soup be'aseba, that can be a little tricky, and to drink water be'aseba, and to have chicken be'aseba, and to have pot roast be'aseba. Where are we having green beans? Green beans, maybe kidneys issue. Okay, leave that aside. The potatoes and the carrots and more potatoes and the eggs to have be'aseba. You're not mechuyev to, but if you did, I raise them a shubach. Where did that come from? The Gemara said matzah, yes, mar or not, yain, the question mark, but maskana, yes. Where did I get this from? So, take a look at this scroll. We can begin to bring those from the top. We'll go for a couple minutes. I'd love to take questions also. And we're going to begin, and then we'll continue this mitzvah Sunday night. Lafika kishasoid adna balayla zeh. In Ruvelville inside, a fellow he sits down to eat a suda lehal seder. Sarach lecha v'lishos u'meisav derecheres. That's the language in Halacha Zayin when he's just sketching out, naming the basic din drabanan of hesed. V'chulu, etc., etc., etc. And finally, now he brings us to the end of Halacha Ches. He must have tzrich and hasebu shasachiz k'zayis matzah u'v'shtiyas arba kosas elu. But the rest of the eating and drinking of the night, Shulchan Aruch, im heiserez im meshubach, im lavein atzarech, ad kan lashonu. End quote. So, we already together unpacked some of the nuances. We're not sure where that end piece came from. It was also interesting, another point that was interesting was the language at the beginning, when he initially defined the mitzvah, he didn't mention matzah arba kosas, so just lechol v'lishtos. That was based on what line of Chazal? The Mishnah. Anish Rishal lo yol chalat sheyasev. So he says, well, it did, what do I derive from a careful reading this Rambam? V'divra Rambam ha'elu mevu'ar, the mitzvah says say, but what emerges, a biur, mean underlying yisoid, mitzvah bifnei atzma sheyocha v'yishte b'layla hazev v'meisev derecheres. There is an independent mitzvah to eat and drink in a free fashion. Elo de chachamim kavu lemitzvah zu b'shas achilas hamatzah shtiyas ha'abrakosas. Really, there's an independent mitzvah to eat and drink b'aseba. But once Chazal created, they then decided, instead of just leaving it as a free-floating mitzvah v'aseba, specifically, matzah and arba kosas. Where do you get this from? So you got it from the fact that while the Rambam first just says when he initially identifies the mitzvah, initially formulates the thumbnail portrait of the mitzvah in Parallel Chazayin, he just said to eat and drink beseba. So it's not apparent the basic mitzvah, just eat and drink in beseba. The details, the very last details you saw at the very end of Lachaches, the last of the details is, by the way, at least matzah and arba kosas. But that, it's not really about matzah and arba kosas. It's not a how you do matzah and arba kosas. This is an independent mitzvah of Eseba. Interesting. The independent mitzvah of Eseba. That's what emerges from reading the Rambam carefully. And he says, that explains another detail. Al kol panim mitzvah b'fnei atzmi, v'lo medini ha-mitzvah shal matzah v'arba kosas. It's an independent mitzvah. It's not a detail within matzah and arba kosas. Not only from the way the Rambam initially names the mitzvah versus the details of Halacha Ches, but k'dechazinan digam b'shar achilas ha-shtiyaso im heisev ha-reizem ha-shubach. The Rambam went on to tell me a din. He said that there's value, it's not obligatory, but there's value to doing haseba when you eat and drink other things. In other words, the Rambam, the Ritzker of now, rephrases it. Hainu demikri yakiyum mitzvah shel haseba. What do you mean harezem b'shubach? So let's rephrase that in Achronish terminology. Ritzker says that means you're makayim the mitzvah. B'shubach in what sense? You're a nice guy? Shkayach? What do you mean shkayach? Shkayach means you're makayim haseba. I mean, you're Mekayim Haseba. I thought Haseba is a matzah. So Biskrup says, obviously, Haseba is the way you eat, which is how the Rambam had originally said it. Which the truth is the way the Mishnah had said it. Lo yochal chiyaseh. Haseba, that's where we started. Haseba is a way of eating. So Rambam understood that to mean that the definition of it is that it's not unlike what one could have thought, that Haseba is a detail in Hilchas Matzah, a detail in Hilchas Marah. No! There's a mitzvah matzah, there's a mitzvah mar, and there's a mitzvah haseba. A new mitzvah called haseba. Haseba is a way of eating. There's no kiyum of talking b'haseba. It's a mitzvah of eating b'haseba. That's how the Rambam had phrased it based on the Mishnah Halacha Zayin. At minimum, you have to have matzah and arba kosas b'haseba. You want to do more, harezim meshubach.
Is Degrees saying that you get it from Mishnah?
He doesn't. That's what I'm suggesting. I think that's what he's driving at. And he goes on to say, number one in brackets, he says, and by the way, the Shulchan Aruch mentions that approach to the Rambam. L'chatchila yosef kol ha-se'uda. And he says, let's unpack that a little more. Harei de maisa haseba is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. It really could be relevant by the rest of the Achilah Shtiyah also. We're only mechuyev to do it B'shas achilas matzah arba kosos. Okay. So what do we have? Be sensitive to the clock, which is about to run out. What we have so far, and we're ready to put more of the pieces together mitzvah next time. What we have so far, the Brisker Rav already looked at the language of the Rambam, the two halachas in which he did, halacha and a half, which he discusses Haseba, B'giv halacha zayin halacha ches. If you're sensitive to the language, I would have thought that Haseba is a detail in Matzar Bekosos. The Rambam apparently thought otherwise. The Rambam saw Haseba is an independent mitzvah to eat Haseba, the minimum shear of which is Matzar Bekosos, but apparently it's a meaningful act, but they're not obligatory, but the rest of the eating and drinking as well. You might already be thinking about how this plugs back into Tosfos and the Rush about whether Haseba is Ma'akev or not. You might be wondering, this is very nice that the Rambam had this idea, but where did he get it from? Number one, I'll leave with one kasha. The simple reading of the Gemara is that it is a din of matzah and arba kosos. Where did the Rambam get it from? Number two, the kasha we had from before. An expression of this lumdus is shar achilas shiaso and heser es meshubah. But where did the Rambam get that from? Where do Chazal say that? I didn't see that in our Gemara anywhere. Number two. Number three is the Rush seems to be opposed to this, because the Rush said it is a din in matzah, so much so that it's even ma'akev in matzah, and he had a Gemara to prove his side. So, third problem with the Rambam. And finally, a fourth open question is that the Beis Yosef, I told you before, the Beis Yosef lines up that all the three Talmidim, Naram, Rutenberg, the Rush, the Mordechai, and the Echos Maimni, all agree with Tosfos that even Matzah, even Afikoman requires Haseba. Beis Yosef goes on to point out the Rambam we read before, another Diak in the Rambam, thinks not. The Rambam says, Kazayis Matzah. So what's going on with that Machlokas? Why are they arguing over whether matzah tzarech haseba includes afikoman or does not include afikoman? And it's not why you think. And finally, I leave you the question number five. This is all very nice. Haseba is a new mitzvah. A mitzvah of what? Like, what type of mitzvah is that? What type of mitzvah is it? The mitzvah of matzah tzarech. The mitzvah of darbakosis. Okay. The mitzvah of mar. Haseba is a mitzvah b'fayatzma, a type of free-floating mitzvah b'fayatzma. What's that all about? So we will pick up with all this in Rosh Hashanah Sunday night. Let's stick around for questions.